The DL Debate, brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny.
Check this. Welcome one and all to the DL Debate, beaming out from the famous Mountaintop Studios here. This is Highland Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the first episode of the 2021 season. The GA is upon us again. Isn't it fantastic to see our footballers are starting next week, next Saturday in Healy Park at 5 p.m. But our hurlers yesterday in the home of hurling, O'Donnell Park, got us off to a great start in Division 2B with a win against Roscommon. It wasn't looking good in the closing stages, Donegal training by three, but Rona McDermott, who was man of the match, bundled home a goal and then points from Niall Cleary, an excellent score from him, and of course a fitting point from top scorer Declan Coulter, tied up the game, and which was a brilliant start for Donegal in a step up in the division, as I say, in the 2B. It's a fantastic time for Donegal hurling, and fair play to Mickey McCann and his backroom team. I got a couple of words from him pitch side after the game yesterday. I'm here pitch side with a man in his fourth year with the Donegal senior hurlers up in Division 2B. And off to a cracking start, Mickey McCann, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I suppose, Bryn, I think we probably underperformed a bit, you know, but I suppose with 3 weeks training is all we had, you know, and you'd expect that, but I feel we left a lot of scores out there. We missed a penalty, a few frees, and look, we were off the boil a bit up front, Bryn, to be honest, and we'd only won 10 on the board maybe after 65 minutes, which is not good enough in a hurling match. But look, this team has shown great resilience. We keep at it, and you know, a hurling game can change so quick, and it's showed that again. Like, there was a 5-point swing there in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, an epic last few minutes. Mickey, as you said, it looked like Roscommon had that cushion, but there's something about hurling games and something about the spirit that you've put in this team. It never was a foregone conclusion, and they got the rewards in the end.
We did. We always know that 3-pointer chance was maybe coming, you know, but it took to the 70th minute, Brendan. Things were getting a wee bit worrying, you know, that wasn't going to happen for us, because we had a few chances before that, put it in the keeper's hands and stuff. And look, we switched Ronan McDermott on side, who was having a great shift out at half forward for us, but to get his boot on the end of that, they put it in the net, you know, and then they click over two great long distance scores to seal it. It's a great way to finish, Bryn. It's a nice way to go into the changing room compared to, it's 69 minutes gone, you begin with the heads down and going to a vital game against Kildare next week, which is Christy Ring champion. So that's a big 2 points for us come the end of the league, I think.
And all the sweeter, Mickey, when you think about you lost obviously this season, Joe Boyle retired, David Flynn wasn't able to commit, neither was Kevin Keighley. So a lot of people saying, though, it would have affected just going into this game today. So again, I mean, obviously great servant that Joe was over the years. It's unusual not to see him there in the heart of the team, but again, having overgone those guys not being involved in the team and still coming out on top and up a division, a massive day for you.
Yes, big Joe and him's a big loss, Bryn, you know, and he would have freed maybe another defender to go out the pitch for us if he was here, and we probably did miss him, you know. But look, you have to move on. Joe served his time, and look, the defence we were relatively happy with, to hold them to 111, you know, and Danny Cullen the second half came back in around the half back line from midfield, sort of more like himself, you know. That's Danny all over, won a lot of ball and breaking up a lot of play. And look, we just didn't switch on enough up front, and maybe that's expected 3 weeks and the training, Bryn, or forwards maybe get a bit more training done, you know, and more backs and forwards and chin, get a lot of tense in, because that's what's coming down the line, Bryn, in this division. And we're up, no illusions that you're away to Kildare next week, who won the Christy Ring last year. And if you look at the likes of Offaly and Ems in the Christy Ring, no, you really stepped up a notch. But that's where we put things, and no, it's great to try to compete there. We'll go to Kildare next week, and look, no wild pressure on us. It's the Nicky Ragger Championship, it's the Christy Ring, so pressure's all on them, but we'll just be going to get set up, make ourselves hard to beat again, and see where that comes the 70 minutes, you know.
Well, a bit like the team today, Mickey, brilliantly summed up, and well done, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Thanks, Brent.
Yes, great to catch up with Mickey McCann yesterday. Just a quick word now on Luke White, of course, the Donegal goalkeeper, who saved a penalty at the start of that second half. We can't forget the keepers. Saving the penalties is important as putting the ball in the back of the net. Well done, Luke White. And now, as I say, we're turning our attention to the National Football League, and we're going to review Division 1 with former Armagh great and Cross McGlen sharpshooter Oisin McConville.
Friend of any, how's the form?
I was going to say free ticker there, but
would have been harsh.
Actually, the last thing somebody needs to do is poke fun at you. I think you could bury me very quickly. No, I know you enjoy a bit of crack and
I think we get less precious when we get older.
I know you like the light-hearted side of the game as well, Osh. You know, always good to see you around matches and that, and have a bit of crack. Some people get a bit overexcited around GAA games. I think you're one of the most chilled guys in the scene.
Yeah, no, I suppose, look, we all enjoy our football, but I think this past 18 months or so, we've seen a different side of life. So I think we all appreciate that football is important, but there's other things that might be slightly more important. Although, having said that, you see me on the sideline in an under 10 match and you think, you know, that everything revolves around what's going to happen in the next 40 minutes. But look, that's a completely different, that's my alter ego.
Yeah, we all get sucked in. And in saying that, Oisin, the rivalry, of course, is going to be resumed between Donegal and Tyrone, which I suppose, particularly this last 11 years, Oisin has been, you know, one of the biggest, I think, in the history of the GAA. And of course, the spectre of Hart, it just seemed like, you know, he was going to be around forever. He's moved on, of course, to Louth. You might have heard some things that's happening on the round of the scene there. It's not too far from you, Oisin. But just with the new management then, big Fergal Logan and Doher, and there's going to be a freshness about Tyrone. And from a Donegal's perspective, Oisin, I think a danger.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think, you know, if you're talking about, you know, everybody says Dublin's the only show in town, but from an Ulster point of view, when you see Tyrone and Donegal coming up against each other, I mean, I think that's the one that perks up the interest of most GAA followers up here. And I think it becomes more intriguing and more interesting every year. But I think this year in particular, because first and foremost, I do still believe that Donegal, as far as squad and panel and up-and-coming talent, I think Donegal can rival anybody in the country. And I think it's just a matter of that being knitted together and coming together. And I think the last 3 years, it would be fair to say that Donegal people and Donegal management and Donegal players will be very disappointed with the way the last 3 seasons have ended. And I think now you're coming up, you're pitting yourself against a Tyrone, which I think going into this league, teams really, you know, if you look back on how Logan and Doer and Peter Canavan set up that under 21 team, it was a very positive way of playing football. And I think that will differ big time from what we've seen from under Mickey Hart's tenure in the last number of years, because I think they like to get bodies back. And I'm not saying that, you know, Fergal Logan and Brian Doer are going to throw caution to the wind and, you know, it's going to be total football or anything, but I do think that they will be aware. Like, if I was to look at the Tyrone setup and I was to say, like, how do we make the most of the players we have? Well, the first players I'd be looking at would be the attacking players, because I think defensively Tyrone will always be got at. But I think they're not making the most of the opposite end of the field. And I think that's to the forefront of what Doer and Logan will be doing. And I think therein lies a danger for everybody. And I also think that they'll just be rejuvenated. You know, you know yourself, Brendan, for, you know, playing under certain managers for long periods of time, and somebody comes in and not necessarily saying that they're better than the previous manager, but it rejuvenates and reinvigorates certain individuals, and, you know, you're playing in a slightly different way, and the setup is slightly different, the coaching is slightly different. They're probably bringing one or two things that maybe haven't been there before, and I think as a result of that, I think, you know, there's a good chance that Tyrone could big time hit the ground running. And look at it, if you looked at Harlan yesterday and you looked at Waterford and how good they were last year, and that bounce that they got off Liam Cahill coming into that setup, and all of a sudden this year, you know, the first game against Cork, and they get wiped out of it. Like, so I think, you know, a lot of times the first year that the manager's involved is usually his best chance.
Yes. So, funny, Oisin, you're correct. I think with everybody packing defences now, it's all about how you come out, how you translate then in the attack, and how quick you can get the ball up the pitch. But Oisin, tell me now, if these two guys, McSheehan and McKenna, are at their pomp inside, surely that gives Tyrone a massive advantage in letting the ball in any way at all. I mean, if I had those two guys inside, I'd be like, as soon as you get anywhere within range to put that ball in diagonally, high, low, whatever, bang it in. No, actually, I think the two of them have the capability to be the most feared partnership in the country in terms of a full forward line.
Well, I think you're right, because I think McShane not playing with Tyrone completely changes how you set up against Tyrone, and it completely changes your thinking around how much Tyrone can vary the play. And I think with McShane in there, for me, like 2 years ago, like he was right at the top of their game, not his game, but right at the top of their game. And I think that he was a guy that was that kept improving. I watched this guy, 5 years ago playing in the Sigerson Cup final. I think it was 16 or 17. I'm not 100% sure, but he played for St Mary's. And St Mary's played him more as a utility player than a full forward. And I thought the only thing that's going to hold this guy back is how good his feet are. And now he's a free taker. Now he's kicking points with left and right. And the amount of work he's done in the meantime and how he transforms that Tyrone team when he's in it. But look at, he's a very integral part of what Tyrone will be trying to do. And the most important thing for them is to keep him fit. And if they can keep him fit, then it'll be there or thereabouts. But if you're going to look at any team in the country, you're going to say, who's the most interesting prospect, or who would you be looking at and going, they could really make a go of it this year? Well, then I would look at Tyrone, because I would feel that there has to be a bounce. And obviously some of the players that were let go by Mickey Harder back in, and it looks like a pretty strong panel. But I will go back to the original statement. I mean, that's not saying Donegal can't get at them defensively, because Donegal's no slouches up front either. Like, I wouldn't be discounting Donegal, but I'm just saying that if you're going to look at somebody coming out of the pack, then the most likely at this stage you would have to think would be Tyrone.
Yeah, no, listen, I concur with that. That would be my feeling as well. Listen, just looking there, a few boys were misbehaving. Cork down, Dublin, and the bold Banty there, all getting fixtures have to be played away. They've got no home games. Any of those sides get into the league, and of course, the first game, which is away now in Brewster Park for them, is against your homeboys Armagh. They're back in the big time. What's the buzz about Armagh getting into this? I suppose after the back of that, Washington, the terrible championship performance against Donegal, which was one of those days, we were all shell-shocked. You were shell-shocked yourself up in Cavan that day, myself and yourself was talking. But, listen, it's a fresh season, they're back in Division 1, and there'll be a positive lift from that.
There will be, but I think any Armagh supporter now, everything, all the enthusiasm is tempered by the nightmare scenario of what happened in Cavan that day. And I think you get a little bit scarred when you're following a team like Armagh. You get a little bit scarred as things go along. But I think that people from Armagh are hopeful. I think it's almost the opposite scenario when it comes to Armagh that I'm after talking about Tyrone and Donegal. Armagh just need to get a wee bit harder to play against and a wee bit nastier in defence. And I think with
McGeaney as the manager, how come that hasn't happened?
Well, to be honest, like, you look at the way he played with his Kildare team, you look at the way he played with Armagh since he's come in. It just hasn't happened with either of those teams. Like, we're talking 10 years plus, inter-county management, and that just really hasn't happened. And one of the things I keep pointing is maybe just we don't have those players, but if we don't, we need to develop them. And if you don't have the individuals that are able to do that, then you need to develop a system, and I don't think we've developed a system yet. And I think last year would have made it pretty plain to everybody that that's something we need to do. And as much as we want to be attractive, an attractive team to watch, there's no greater insult that you can give a team other than to say, you're easy to play against. And I'm sure when Kieran McGeaney sits down, that's not what he wants. But as to why it hasn't happened, I'm not 100% sure. I think maybe the personnel just hasn't adapted to that. And I think that's why Armagh will probably have to be a little bit more difficult to play against. So I think it mightn't just be as pretty as what it has been, but if it's winning football, nobody will care. I expect this game with Armagh and Mullin to be decisive as far as who stays up and who goes down, because I'm looking at the other side of the draw and I'm thinking Roscommon are going to find it difficult to get a win on the other side of the draw. And I think, as I say, whoever wins that game between Armagh and Mullin you know, more than likely will stay up. So I know that Monaghan have already played a couple of challenge matches. I know they played Dublin and they played Derry. I don't think either of those games went brilliantly. So that probably means that they'll win.
I suppose we have to give a wee bit of a wide berth around, you know, teams so late coming back, and well, whoever was back whenever at this stage. But you know, very difficult for people just to pull it all together. Yeah, I would expect friendlies to be strange. But I'll tell you what was strange, Oisin, the Donaghy coming in, Kieran Donaghy coming in. Where did this come from? I mean, I've seen some surprise inclusions in the squads and management teams, but I never seen that coming.
Yeah, no, I was the same. That really came from left field. I'd heard a couple of rumours of different individuals coming in, and but nothing around Kieran Donaghy. But I don't think I'm breaking any trust. But like I've talked to a few of the Armagh lads, and they've been very impressed with what he has had to offer. And again, that just comes back to that bit of freshness, something different, to actually, you know, coach people how to play in the forward line. Probably not. I don't think it was a dumb thing in our time, but I think it's something that coaches and management teams are more conscious of now than ever, because they realise that, you know, if you have a system, if you have a midfield that can win you some primary possession, well then it's all about making the most of it when you get up there. And I think when you think of teams who are economical, and you look at how economical Dublin are, you look at Harlan, you look at how economical Limerick are, it's no surprise that those are the two teams that are top of the three in hurling and football. So I think, you know, that's, I suppose, what Donaghy has come in there to do. And I think, you know, the players themselves have been very impressed with what has gone on so far. I think Kieran McGeaney's happy with the arrangement. So, and I know Kieran Donaghy has had, I talked to Mark O'Shea last week, and I know he's had some positive things to say about the lads he's working with. So hopefully he can get the best out of those lads, because I think we have a decent forward line. It's just, you know, trying to make the most of the guys that we have, and hopefully that's what's going to happen this year.
He does seem a good guy, Donaghy. I've never actually played with him or much against him when I was playing, but any few times I've met him, he's very personable. Very personal guy. I was just looking there, Ross Common, Dublin, Semple Stadium, 20 years ago. The famous Morris Fitzgerald. Do you believe that, Oisin? 20 years ago, the famous Morris Fitzgerald equaliser against Dublin. And Dublin go down there to play Roscommon in their opening league game.
Yeah, and I do remember that. I remember it all too well. And he was somebody that, funny thing, he's not even that much older than me, but I suppose they were on the big stage a long time before we ever entered it. And he was somebody you just used to look at and think, how can somebody possibly play competitive sport with such ease, such grace, and all that, and he was able to do that. Obviously, part of the Kerry setup now too. But I don't think it matters where Dublin play. I actually think the Dublin players now enjoy getting into the Cup Park or getting away from the home venue. I think it's another point to prove for them. I think it's another box to tick for them, and I think, like, Roscommon have been there or thereabouts. I actually think that they were far and away the most impressive team in Division 2 last year, but weren't always able to show that. I know the night that they came to play in the Athletic Grounds, I know it was a really tough night, but it wasn't really that impressive them that night. But they seem to have kicked on, they seem to have improved, but they one of them improved a hell of a lot in the 6 months that they've had off, in order to even put it up to Dublin. I mean, I think that's a nice game for Dublin to ease themselves into the league, to be honest.
Yes, exactly. So Healy Park is Saturday evening, 5 o'clock. That's Tyrone v Donegal. Brewster Park Sunday is Monaghan v Armagh. And Oisin, hopefully now on May 29th at the Athletic Grounds, it isn't Armagh or Donegal to go down. We could have to cross swords that day.
Yeah, look, I think that this weekend is, it's hard to believe, but, like, you know, when people talk about hit the ground running, like, I mean, for Armagh and Monaghan, it really is hit the ground running, because I think whoever wins, as I say, this weekend has a brilliant chance of staying up, and whoever doesn't has got a real dogfight on their hands. But I think when Donegal get to the letter grounds, the good thing is they won't have had too great of memories from the recent past from playing there. And I think Armagh like playing there. It's more condensed, and there's an opportunity maybe to keep a couple of those forwards at bay. But look, I'd like to think that by that stage Armagh will be safe, and we won't need to be relying on that win, because I wouldn't like to be relying on beating Donegal considering our recent history against them.
Good man, Oisin. Well, there was a time that history was very different, unfortunately. Well, that went. Listen, Oisin, as ever, pleasure to talk to you, and I'll catch up to your games over the coming weeks.
100%. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Oisin. Take care, man. And we turn our attention now to Donegal GA, and top Donegal news reporter Ryan Ferry is on the line. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm good, Brendan. I'm very good. We've had a long struggle over the last couple of months, but you know, our adult men and women are going to get back onto the GA pitches this evening. And you know, I was out earlier on getting a quick wee haircut in there, and I think I was listening to the radio and they were saying 12,000 shops are due to reopen this week. So It's definitely a good start to the week. You know,
but Ryan, I could just see in your new haircut now, dashing down the wing. Hey, you back to your best.
Oh, that's it. The confidence is sky high again now, Brendan. You know all about that.
And Ryan, I was out in the Donald Park yesterday. Fantastic Houdini act from our Donegal hurlers. You know, as I say, Donald Park was in immaculate condition. Fair play to everybody involved with the club there. It is the home of hurling now. They need that good pitch. And, you know, it wasn't looking likely, but it was a smash and grab and came up in the end. And a massive one in Division 2B.
Yeah, Brendan, the pitch looked in fantastic condition. I'm not living too far away from O'Donnell Park myself at the minute, and you know, we've seen a good bit of work has gone in over the last couple of weeks, and it did look in fantastic and fantastic shape, and it helped both sets of players. And I suppose they only had 3 weeks of collective training to get up to speed, Brendan, which isn't a long time. And you know, I think the energy levels maybe dropped a wee bit in the second half, and if we're being honest, probably Ross Common shaded it, I would have thought. But Donegal, you know, they showed great character and resilience. They kept going. Ronan McDermott scored a very good goal in the 70th minute to level matters. And then Niall Cleary and Declan Coulter with long-range points. It was a strange evening. Our afternoon, we'd kind of four seasons in one day. And there was a big wind going down the pitch in the first half. And it died in the second half, actually, when Donegal had it. But just in those closing couple of minutes, it came back and it helped Niall Cleary and Declan Coulter strike those points over the bar. And it's two very valuable points for Donegal, Brendan, because, you know, it may be good enough to keep them up in Division 2B, which would be massive.
Yeah, great stuff. Chris, I'm just looking there at the season ahead. Ryan, everything's going to really be condensed in. We obviously have the regional league in terms of trying to cut down on travel, you know, to keep everybody safe as we come out of this pandemic. It's going to be like week on week, you know. You're just saying about Donegal coming back there and looking a bit leggy. Where's people going to get the time, you know, in the fixtures that's coming up to, I suppose, get to fitness and then get the match fitness? It's going to be very difficult for all the top teams.
It's going to be very, very difficult because, like, you know, it really is coming hot and heavy at inter-county teams now. You know, Donegal are out this Saturday, and they play 3 Saturdays in a row. You know, so you know they'll be, you know, they might get a bit of a session in on the Tuesday night after matches, but you know they'll have to be careful on the Thursday, you know, to make sure that they're fresh for the league games, because these are important league games as well. Nobody's going to want to be relegated going into the Championship. So I think after the three group games, there's a weekend break, and then there will be semi-finals and playoffs. You know, so there will be a one weekend break. I think it's the June bank holiday weekend, which will be a bit of a chance to maybe recharge the batteries. But you know, as we were saying, these players have only been back in collective training for, you know, a few weeks. You know, they've been all right. They've been working away on their individual programs and stuff like that. And you know, they'll all be in good shape, but you know, it's not a huge, like, you know, usually, you know, pre-COVID times, you know, teams will be back in November maybe training, you know, and they're not playing the league till the end of January, you know, so they, you know, 2 or 3 months to get ready. So here we are with a couple of weeks, you know. So listen, it's going to come hot and heavy at teams. there's going to be injuries. We've seen that last year as well. So it's going to be a real squad effort this year for Donegal and all teams, I would say.
And Ryan, you're just saying there, but the week off, normally that week off would be a rest week, but the fact that teams aren't back that long, as a manager, you're thinking, well, do we need to actually up the training that week? But then that's sandwiched in between games. And of course, you have then the Ulster Championship coming down. We are in the preliminary round as well. So all that condensed into a season, you'd think it's a, we often talk about this with Ulster, but with breaks and that, we usually just, you have to take it as the way it is. But I think this season in particular, let's say Donegal, go through Ulster and go into a semi-final, compared with what they're coming up against, it's night and day between the challenge of an Ulster team, particularly Donegal, and the teams around Leinster, Munster and Connacht.
Yeah, and I have to say, Brendan, I was very surprised that, Donegal and other counties in Ulster in particular, didn't put in more of a push to get a backdoor qualifier system into play this year because, Fergal McGill from Crow Park was saying all it would have taken was another 3 weeks to get a backdoor qualifier system. And when you consider that, we're going to have league semi-finals and playoffs and there's a break weekend in there, would it have been that much more difficult to find the 3 weeks for, a qualifier? As you can, we can all say this now, you're not going to be a rich man by predicting that Dublin are going to be in the All-Ireland semi-finals.
Yeah.
But it's not as easy to pick it, in Ulster. As, I don't know, were we ever, boundless optimism like we did last year before the Cavan Ulster final, nobody could see Donegal losing that day. But on any one given day in Ulster, there's five or six teams that could catch you, if you just don't perform. So I was perhaps surprised that the likes of Donegal, Monaghan, Tyrone, Armagh, teams that would feel if there was a backdoor system, that they could still be very well in the championship.
Yeah.
I was probably a bit surprised that they didn't push on with that. So, it is going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting Ulster championship. We'll be a bit presumptuous here now, and say perhaps if Donegal were fortunate to get past Down and Derry, that they would only have a week to prepare for a big Ulster Championship semi-final against Tyrone or Cavan. So that's not a long time either. Mm. Usually pre-COVID times, you would have had at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks sometimes to prepare for an Ulster semi-final. So, it is going to come hot and heavy. And as I said, and we've seen this last year, injuries are going to be a massive, massive part in it. And Donegal have not been fortunate in the last couple of years. They've gone into a lot of big games missing bodies. And, whoever can keep their players fresh and fit are going to be in a very healthy state here.
Yeah, and Ryan, the thing, I don't want to be to complain about Donegal. Obviously, we have a really large county. We have loads of people outside, at the minute, not as much in terms of college and people away working and different things. All those factors bringing in, you've got condensed season, you've training. Obviously, Declan needs everybody down there every night, comedy training as a collective. All those things, recovery time now is what we're talking about. And Donegal probably, maybe the least of any of the top teams in terms of recovery time with the way people are spread out and the size of the county. All those things are huge things to get over, I suppose, Ryan. And then, Ryan, is the club season mapped out yet in terms of the county season stops there? Is the whole plan in place for the whole club season? Is that all ratified?
No, it hasn't been ratified yet, Bren. From what I gather, in the next couple of weeks, I think there's to be a county committee meeting where the clubs are going to have the final sign off, and this will probably be in one or two weeks before that comes to play. But from what I can gather, it looks like we're going to have one round of the All County League probably. The All County Leagues as they were before last year, with maybe 10 teams in each division. And if Donegal go well in the inter-county championship, then county players will not be playing in those games until Donegal's interest is finished. And now it's important to say that with this split season coming into play, this is the way it's going to be for the next couple of years as well, Brendan. It's not just about COVID. And, it'll be interesting to see, how the powers that be work this. Will there be playoffs brought into the leagues? you know, to help teams. And possibly you would play maybe your nine fixtures and then there would be playoffs at the end of it, maybe when county men are available, just to make sure that teams have a fair crack at getting up and or avoiding relegation with that, you know. But, you know, from what I'm told, the regional leagues is pretty much off the table this year as long as we don't go back into another localised lockdown here in Donegal. Well, you know, the way it's going, the minute you can never rule anything out in that regard. But, you know, I think, you know, from people I was talking to, I don't think the regional leagues were a huge success last year. I think people want the all-county leagues with the promotion and relegation in play, and hopefully it looks like we will get that. And then from what I'm gathering then, around September time, we will have a senior championship very similar to what we had last year, you know, possibly with a few tweaks around the quarterfinals and how they're played out and things like that. But again, that seemed to work quite well last year. So, you know, the CCC in Donegal held a fixture forum, and I think it's something like 137 club members on board, and, you know, they've listened to their clubs, and the clubs say they want to go with very similar format to last year, so it looks like that's what we're going to have.
Yes indeed. And Ryan, just on a sad note, I just want to send my condolences out to Michael Jack O'Donnell's family, his mother Nora, partner Bernie, his brothers Desi, John, Jared and Brad, his sisters Ida, Mary, Therese and Siobhan, the rest of the family, and the huge amount of friends that he had out there. You know, so much more. They say he was a man just there capturing images of the game would only scratch the surface. He was part and parcel of all GAA, you know, staunch Niamh Connell and Donegal supporter. Ryan, just your thoughts on Michael?
Yeah, well, just first and foremost, I'd like to pass on my condolences to Michael's friends, family and club mates as well. Bren, listen, it's very sad news, and, you know, we're going to be back on at Donegal games now over the next couple of weeks and club matches, and it's going to be very strange for, you know, not to have Michael Jack there in the corner. And, you know, he's a gentleman and a great man to meet at matches. Like, and I was just thinking about, I think, you know, it was only a couple of years ago that we were down in Ennis, and, you know, I remember Michael Jack was down that day, and, you know, he was in around the stand, and he was taking pictures of everybody who was coming down, and, you know, there were in the local papers then the next couple of days after that. And, you know, he's just, you know, great man to chat Gaelic with, and, you know, he was hugely passionate about Niamh Connell, as you said, and, you know, particularly over the last, you know, 16 years, there were some great days following Niamh Connell for him, you know, when he was all over Ulster, as the, you know, they went up against Cross McGlen and Coal Island and Kilcoo and you know, Clontibret and teams like that, like, you know, really put Niamh Connell and Glenties on the map, and he was delighted about all of that. And, you know, I think back to the night, the trilogy of the county finals against Gweedore, and, you know, I remember him coming into the press box after the match, you know, and he just, you know, the red face, just pure of delight, like, you know.
He wore his heart in his sleeve. Ryan, I was just thinking to myself, I was chatting to Bradis, his brother, yesterday, and, you know, the great guy out round the games there too, and just chatting with Michael Jack. And I was just saying, the amount of pictures of Michael Jack with the management team and with the players of teams, like, you don't see that with photographers very often. You know, he's so many great pictures of him and with everybody else, which just shows you his connection to all the teams that he was supporting and involved in, and how well he was got.
Well, that just shows you how well respected he was among the players, and, you know, in the management team. And, you know, like, Brendan, I would say it, you know, in my position in the media, you know, like, the game has very much changed over the last, you know, 15 years, and, you know, you don't get the same access to players, and, you know, but Michael Jack would be able, you know, to go into Donegal training sessions, you know, and he would just do there, and, you know, he wasn't giving away any trade secrets or anything like that, but he was able to get in and take, you know, pictures of the boys while they were training, and, you know, I think it was Michael Murphy said last week, you know, he was never getting in the way or anything like that, you know, so, but, you know, that doesn't happen anymore, like, you know, the management teams, you know, they don't allow that. And I'm not just chatting about Donegal, I'm chatting all over the county, but, you know, Michael Jack, you know, was just, it was just held to a different esteem, really. And, sure. You know, he was able to do it. And that just showed the respect that he was held at here in Donegal.
Yeah, well said, Ryan. He'll be sorely missed. Ryan, listen, thanks very much for summing that up in those words there. And no doubt I will see you in Healy Park on Saturday evening, and we'll come away with 2 points, let's hope.
I'll hear it opening. Good year.
Thanks, Ryan. I'll see you then, sir. And now, folks, I am joined by a man that had a stellar football career in the GAA, being a powerhouse in midfield of Galway's. He won 5 Connacht titles, 2 All-Irelands, 3 All-Stars, even managed to pick up intermediate titles with his club Killannon as well. It is, of course, the one and only Kevin Walsh.
And how are you keeping? How are things?
The very best, Kevin. Fair play to you, Kevin. Of course, you went down to football management as well then. I mean, that was a crazy move for me. Anyone takes up football management now has something deep inside them that they got to release. But you took over Sligo and Galway, and then I see you've decided to publish the memoirs, and it's an autobiography, Kevin. It's called The Invisible Game: Mass Movement in the Game of Football. So it's about your life in football, but it's also, you know, a look, I suppose, an in-depth look strategically as the game of football that we all love.
Yeah, I suppose it's probably a little bit different than the normal ones, Brendan, I suppose. But look, I suppose it's something that came out of a conversation when I sat down with Liam Hayes and Darrell Crooker, who actually wrote the book. You know, we spoke about it. We probably felt myself there probably wasn't a book in it because I suppose I wasn't delving a whole lot into my past, I suppose, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, as the conversation went on and we spoke a lot about how the game had evolved, and you know, Liam would have said to me, you know, Kevin, there's actually a book on this. And so we just sat down, we spoke for a number of meetings, and it was the making, I suppose, the last year and a half, and we finally got it to the table. So that's probably the history of it.
Yeah, and Kevin, before we get to kind of the management side of things, now you had to drag Galway from an open football player team and the modern team, which that took some doing, Kevin. Before we get that, your football playing days, Kevin, you know, what an unbelievable time for Galway. I messaged you last night. I just missed you in 98, the first year I was playing, and it was back at the old school knockout championship. We, of course, lost the Ulster final, that horrible late goal against Brawley. You just put Derry away in the semi-final, so I could have come up against you that year, but maybe there was no stopping Galway. There was you had some momentum and some star-laden team.
Yeah, and I suppose we kind of came out of nowhere in a way, because you know, I played, I think, something like 11 years before 1998, and we had won 1 Connacht medal, which, you know, when you break it down, that Galway may overfind the top place, was common, but maybe have about maybe half the number of titles. You know, that 11 year period was very, very bleak. So I suppose, you know, I'd been 28 in 1998, so you were probably a young man on the way that time, Brendan. So, yes. But I suppose we'd seen the hardship. And I suppose to take the turn so quickly was probably a surprise to everybody. And to be fair, probably to ourselves a bit as well. But 1995, Boscombe McDermott would have won a Connacht title. You know, we beat Mayo 1995 and beat them well. Mayo came on strong then for 2 years. So I suppose maybe there was something starting around 1995. And then I suppose John O'Mahony came in 1998 and put the young lads with the old fellas, and it was a nice mix, and we got a nice result.
Yeah, it seems to be off in the wake with that breakthrough, Kim. There is that mix of the youth and the older guys coming through, and there was a fantastic... I think, you know, Kim, talking about before we get into the tactics and the change of football, It was round about that sweet spot, I think, in GAA, that teams had started getting organised much fitter. The football abilities were going up, but as yet we hadn't seen the shortening of space and the tacticals that was then going to choke the game. So I think around that time, you know, into the early 2000s, I think it was a bit of a glory period in terms of GAA, that before tactics really took hold.
Yeah, even though I would say probably around the time when maybe there was a little bit of starting to drop the corner
forward.
Yeah,
no, I agree. Yes, I agree. It was starting, but it certainly... there was no blanket.
No, there was no blanket. And to be fair, you know, when I suppose when the blanket starts to come in later on, I suppose people started to work harder. You had, you know, maybe forwards who would have been always forwards started to play in the half back line, and vice versa, that they were falling back. So, yeah, the tactical side started to come in, and then the blanket started to come in. But I'd say where it's gone to now is, even with blankets, the people that's playing in the blankets now have more coaching as to what their job and role description is in the blanket. So, you know, for a while it was get everybody back and cover space without actually having. But now the coaching level has gone to such a high degree. You know, the spatial awareness and the all the stuff off the ball is really important, and to actually understand your job and your role description. So that's probably where it's gone to. And you know, Brendan, to be fair about it, I'm going to make this comment. I've said it. I don't see teams, I don't care how talented they are, but don't have a certain degree of this. I don't see them winning All-Irelands. And you know, the coaching has to go to that very, very deep level now. The technology has gone so high. The show me, don't tell me approach is totally there. And people do expect to understand exactly what role they have to carry out.
I just see in the foreword there that Pádraig Joyce was saying that you were always organising them anyway and keeping them right, and had no doubt that you were the guy who was going to go into football management. And I thought it was nice of him too, Kevin, to say thank you for, you know, getting Galway back to being a mainstay in Division 1, but playing with the likes of Pádraig and the likes of Ja and Michael and all these guys, for you to having played Soldiers so long, it must have been, you know, such a fantastic... I think in many ways it's much sweeter, Kevin, to come that way rather than maybe have it in your first few years and then go through a barren spell. It must have been a fantastic time for you, and something that'll, you know, between 1998 and 2001, just memories that you'll cherish forever.
Absolutely, Brendan. Yeah, and look, I suppose for myself, and for coming through, as I said, it was bad enough being involved 11 kind of championships and winning one, but you know, the injury toll I had myself was an awful lot. And to be fair, I've no problem saying this, 1996 1997, I was actually throwing the towel in, because just the injuries and everything else was going on, and the negativity, and I just got married, and you know, so I was lucky in a way that when John Manley came in, we sat down at a good chat. Decided to give it one more go, and maybe, you know, whatever, recovery better, maybe better organised or whatever you want to call it. And myself, being older as well, I was lucky that I gave it one more lash, and I suppose we went on a bit longer than expected at that point, because we went on then from 97 to 2004. So, yeah, look, I mean, you're 100% correct. When you go through this barren spell, you kind of, every kind of thing you get, you obviously have to work for it, but you kind of cherish that bit more, where you're not expecting to come anymore. So it's lovely when you hold it for so long. I suppose things weren't going your way, and to turn the corner with a blend of youth and also the other lads that were just slightly younger than me to staying on. It was lovely, a great time, to be honest.
And Kevin, you know, you decided then to take up the Sligo post. Was this how did that all come around?
To be honest with you, it wasn't that I was overly, I hadn't long stopped. I was kind of playing 2004-2005, and just got a phone call from, I always been involved in coaching anyway, so, you know, but that was kind of either local or a few local teams or whatever, but I was always in the basketball coaching as well. But this call came out, Desi Sloan happened to ring me from Sligo. I didn't know Desi Barr playing against him, and he just threw out the notion that you know, when I give it a go in Sligo. And to be honest with you, when I sat down and met them, because of geographically I'm from the west of Ireland, which is another half an hour west of Galway City, so it wasn't the easiest place to get to, or, you know, so I was more or less in the first interview, I was more or less saying why I shouldn't do it rather than why I should. But so look, we decided to go with it. Probably one of the best decisions I ever made, because there was really, really great people there. I got a chance to maybe start off at a low base. And, you know, sometimes when you're coming in from the outside across the border, sometimes it's nearly easier in a way that nobody can accuse you of, you know, or being for this particular club or that particular club. It's kind of, you know, it's nearly easier that way. Mm. But then the harder way is you need to get to know the players, you need to get to know your backroom team. And there's a bit of good luck involved in that as well, you know, when you're putting the backroom team together. And to be fair, I you know, the two jobs I had with Galway and Sligo, I've been really lucky that it did turn out that I had two brilliant backroom teams. So there's a bit of luck involved there as well, Brendan. But that's how that job came on. And look, we spent 5 years there, and 5 great years.
Yeah, you did. I mean, you brought them up double promotions, brought them right up the leagues, Kevin. You know, made them again competitive in Connacht. One of your guys has stepped away at a bit of a snipe. Have you made up Eamon O'Harris, though?
No, we haven't crossed paths.
That's one of the biggest rants I've ever seen in my life.
Look, we haven't crossed paths, but I'm sure, and we're not really looking to cross the paths. But look, it doesn't look it is what it was, and it was. I'm sure it was just something that was boiling up there, and look, it was what it was.
I'm glad I don't think too much about it
because it's a bigger thing to do. So.
Well, again, I'm glad to see you've got that attitude towards it, because I think without that, you might lose your mind. Because of I'm looking down at Galway now. You took the Galway job, and listen, Galway are getting hammerings, you know, in Connacht, you know, every year. They couldn't compete with Mayo. You come in and realised that football had changed. And looking at, Kevin, the glory years that you had, I would have thought as a Galway fan supporter automatically that you're already up there in terms of you're going to be given loads of time. I mean, to me, football had to change in Galway. And I know it was difficult because Galway had this, obviously, tradition. But just, Kevin, explain this, that, you know, a lot of people mightn't realise the kind of politics in Galway with the north of the county being where the football is supposed to be, and you not being from there, and this nonsense that was thrown out as you tried to change things and put that tactical awareness and that strength and conditioning under Galway.
Yeah, and I suppose it's like everything else, it's, you know, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but it's sometimes it's the empty vessel that makes the most noise, and don't get me wrong on that. What I'm saying is, there's a perception that there's a massive split there. You know, there's not. The best of people are there, but there is a north. You'll see north versus west, as in commentary or in throwaway comments. But it's normally from people that aren't even involved, you know. And it's unfortunate that type of thing then kind of spreads, and perception then, unfortunately, is reality. It's almost like the analysis of games, perception is reality there as well. It's more that than anything else, because if you go back to 1998, you know, it was geographically, it was completely spread out as well. So there was never an issue with picking teams like that. Mm. And in particular, which is most important, when players go inside the pitch and the fence, everybody's the best of friends. There's none of that stuff goes in the dressing room or outside. Mm. But just unfortunately, I suppose it's been driven by people like to talk, but listen, genuinely, it's not an issue when you're coaching or playing, to be honest.
No,
you know?
No. And listen, for me, Kevin, as I say, you made Galway, obviously you won Connacht titles with them, you made them a mainstay in Division 1 again, all the things that they weren't before you came in. But Kevin, you was talking in the book about, you know, the invisible man. I've seen some of your quotes about, like, affecting games. You had a huge influence on a championship match. It was an All-Ireland final, but you only had the ball in your hands for 40 seconds. You know, and how everything else that you do around that people mightn't see, and the positioning of players, and how that is really, a lot of the time, the winning and the losing of games. Your input without the ball, and even your positioning on the pitch, is vital.
Yeah, absolutely massive. I think when you break down games, you will actually see that anyways. And you know, when you mentioned about the 40 seconds ever was there, Brendan, I think in that same game, the most person had the ball in his hands, I think that was Michael Donnelly. He was just 60 seconds, if I remember correctly. But so it wasn't that I was on a low. I would say most people would have only about 30 seconds in their hands, to be honest. Of course, the guys who run and solo the lot would have a little bit more. But there's a serious amount of time left there where you can impact games. And in particular, for coaching, you know, for us in the Grow Coach team we set up, it's how do we coach coaches, how to coach people to have an impact in those times. And, you know, spatial awareness, where you stand, you know, the places you take up, you may be an obstruction for somebody. There's loads of things you can be doing. So that's really where we're coming at, Brendan.
Kevin, absolutely fantastic, Kevin. I could dedicate a show to this, and I'm looking forward to get time to get into this book, Kay, because it's a real in-depth strategic look at our game. And not only that, Kevin, your own story is fantastic. What a life you've had in football. That is Kevin Walsh, and the book, of course, is The Invisible Game. Kevin, listen, I wish you all the best, and I'll hopefully get on the road again soon, and I might catch up with you in Galway.
Brendan, great to talk to you, and I'm delighted to hear the big Galway connection you've got. I wasn't sure that, so I knew the football came out of somewhere. So.
Listen, Kevin, good man. Thanks very much, sir. I'll catch up soon. Well, folks, that's a wrap. Go off the cobwebs and get back into the new season. Really looking forward to this one. I want to thank Mickey McCann for his interview yesterday. I want to thank the input of Osha McConville, Ryan Ferry, and, of course, Kevin Walsh this evening. I want to thank Kenneth here for producing, Oisin Kelly, head of sport, and of course the gang at Sister Sarah's and the Dry Arch Complex, and of course Kian Brogan, our sponsors again, back on board for another season. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate, brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny.